And cut. Good episode, guys. So just talk to Frank the entire time. Just stare right at him.
Yes, look, that's actually really good.
Look into my eyes.
Look into his baby blues.
Baby brown.
Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference.
So today, I'm Melina Boswell. I don't know if I have to, do I have to always introduce myself?
Yeah, in case somebody, you know, first time listening.
I mean, got it. Yeah. So this could be the first episode?
First episode they listen to. So.
Could be.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, hey, my name is Joan. Melina Boswell. Just kidding. Let's see. Co-founder NWAC, and today in the studio, I'm excited about today. Actually, if I'm honest, I feel pretty, do I sound as nasally as I feel?
Not at all.
Do I? Okay, because I look swollen, so do I sound swollen? I don't know.
Don't look swollen, don't sound swollen.
Look good. Oh, look good. See, this is, here's the trick. Surround yourself with people that lie.
I do need glasses, but.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, so I have Oscar Solaris.
Howdy, everybody. How's it going?
And that was Frank Luna telling me lies.
Hello, everyone.
Sweet little lies. And Tim John Wilkinson.
Hello.
And today, for the first time ever, we have Mr. Eric Walker.
Hello.
All right. So, and then, of course, in the background, we have Kevin Cito.
Hello.
Yep. And so, anyway, today, we have a special conversation for you guys today. And as we were talking about what we wanted this episode to look like and what we wanted to convey to you, we decided to spotlight Eric. So I want to talk to you guys about Eric Walker, who, Eric, let's see, came to the club, and what year was that?
2016?
Okay. Was it 16? Okay. So, pardon me. And you were referred by your girlfriend, Steph.
Yep.
And how long had it been? Because I know Steph came to the club. Came to the club first. She came to the RPP.
Yeah.
By herself, without you.
Yes.
Okay. So, talk to me about that. And why was that? Did she invite you at first?
Well, it's pretty interesting because, you know, she had recently been out of work, and we were trying to think of like ways to enhance our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, build a business. And I'd been interested in real estate previous and done a couple of classes and all that sort of stuff. And so Steph was like, oh, hey, well, since I'm not working right now, maybe I can go find something and, you know, explore some things. And I was like, that'd be awesome. And so
that's
we.
So cute. They're like the perfect little team, aren't they? The cutest couple. Aww.
Yeah. And
she's so supportive and awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, okay.
And so she came across the Craigslist ad mm-hmm. that Christian had posted.
Okay.
And so she was like, hey, you know, this sounds really interesting. She followed up with Christian. Christian followed up with her a few times until finally they connected and she came to check out the club.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that she had gotten started in December mm-hmm. of 2015. And then she was like, hey, I think this is really awesome, but can you come to mm-hmm. check it out to make sure I'm not getting in a cult? And I was like, it sounds like the people are great. You know, it sounds like the information's awesome. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to come and check mm-hmm. it out. And so that's when I did. And then I kind of met everybody, met Christian. And I was like, oh, no, these people are really legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, going to the intro and going to the subsequent RPP, I think it was in April,
mm-hmm.
It was like, oh my gosh, these people really do have a heart of service. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really seems like Melina and Tim and Oscar and Frank and all them really seem to be living what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really what got me, was that it was the difference between what I had seen in previous, you know, mm-hmm. seminars and whatever that I'd gone to.
Mm-hmm.
And then what people connecting with people who are actually doing it.
Right. So, okay. That's awesome to know. So, Eric, tell us about you. What do you do?
Well, a day job. I'm a civil engineer doing a lot of land development projects. So I work for a lot of really wealthy land developers
mm-hmm.
and they make all the money. And I had been seeing that for a long time. And we do a lot of the work, and they make a lot of the money. So I was like, hey, maybe I need to get into this whole land development thing. So mm-hmm. that was part of what spurred the interest in real estate.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hey, the investors are the ones making all the money, and we're doing all the work. So maybe I need to flip this equation. And so that's what I do for day job. And, you know, other than that, you know, building real estate and...
Mm-hmm. So when you, because I was thinking about that, I remember when you very first came to the club, that was always your thing, was development.
Yep. Yeah, there was, it was mostly because that was what I had experience with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had seen a lot of the process of what it took to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been involved in that process, so that was what I was the most comfortable with, mm-hmm. the most familiar with. But I was really coming from it. To it from the side of being an engineer, where I didn't really have to interact with other people. I very much could stay in my cubicle where I was comfortable and do my engineering work, you know, some collaboration here and there, but not a whole lot of like exposure to interacting with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like people in the club were really good at that, really personable people and really good at connecting. So that was another appeal to me.
So would you consider yourself not that?
I'd prefer, like, I'm naturally introverted,
mm-hmm.
and so I'd prefer, like, not to be out in the world talking to people, and I definitely can sense when I'm out talking to people that, you know, there's a point where I'm just like, okay, I'm done now.
Uh-huh, because it tires you out.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I know that you, Melina, you've talked a lot about mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. same, and I really resonated with that when you shared that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I feel the same way.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
The way you recharge is alone time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been growing that bubble, personal mm-hmm. development, you know, since I've been involved with the club of,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess stamina in staying out and talking with people.
That's so cute.
Right?
So,
very familiar.
Yeah, exactly. It's so interesting. I think, I love that. So you and Steph came, and then I just remember your face. I'll never forget, and I can remember you and me and Dave and Stephanie standing in the hallway, like in front of, between mine and Dave's offices. I just have this distinct, you know how you have like moments where you just remember?
Yep.
And I remember the four of us standing there talking and you saying, no, I'm doing this. Like I'm coming all in and I am going to, you know, I'm in love and I know this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dave, definitely, how do I put it? He was very strong in his language and he's like, so, you know, I know you're here with Steph. What's your intentions with her? You know, are you guys uh-huh. going to be together long term? You know, is that something that you see? Because what he didn't want was for us to try to get into business together if we weren't serious about our relationship first.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was like, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm very committed to her and you know, she felt the same way. And so he's like, okay, I feel comfortable with that then. And, yeah, you guys should definitely do this together.
Yeah. Dave Boswell. He was just such a gangster that way, you know? He did not mess around. He said, what are your intentions with Stephanie? He knew her for, you know, 5 months, but it didn't matter.
Right.
You know, totally protecting both of you, really. Yeah,
yep.
That's such a good, I remember that. And I think, you know, of course, we've been teasing you forever about it. You know, it's kind of been the nonstop question, you know, we mm-hmm. put a ring on it. But anyway, so, I remember that, and then you just decided you were jumping in, and so then, what did it look like for you right after that?
Right after that, did some initial door knocking. Was really anxious about it. You know, that kind of the introvert really came out, and I was like, you know, I don't know that this part is for me yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one thing that I had taken one of Chris's classes mm-hmm. on buy and hold and creative acquisitions and some of that. And I was like, wow, this stuff sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started looking, doing a lot of market research on rentals. And I was like, okay, yeah, this sounds like it's less dealing with homeowners and more dealing with, you know, calling people and mm-hmm. agents and, you know, a variety of other things, but not knocking on somebody's door, you mm-hmm. know, which I still wasn't comfortable with.
Sure.
And so.
Which is okay, by the way.
Yeah.
100% okay.
So I pursued that avenue. Got involved in some transactions up in Bakersfield
mm-hmm.
After a lot of my market research. And then I definitely leaned on some people in the club
mm-hmm.
When I was looking at some of those transactions. Leaned on Mark Weisberg and mm-hmm. Tim and a few other people to kind of like, hey, here's my numbers. This is what I'm thinking. really getting that feedback before I got into
any the of other those. Engineers.
Yeah, basically.
And here they flock together.
Yeah, the people I felt a relationship, you know, that kindred spirit, right?
Yes, yes, totally.
And so then, you know, did some of those. It went fairly well. You know, I still have those rentals today.
Mm-hmm.
So that part was going really well,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how I kind of got started, I guess, in the club. Mm-hmm.
So you started with, you know, you came to RPP, you got advanced classes.
Yep.
Took in some of the information from the advanced classes, recognized your strengths and your weaknesses.
Yep.
Decided to pursue an avenue that you knew would resonate with your strengths, your personal strengths.
Absolutely.
Actually put it into action.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is what you do.
Yeah.
This is who you are. This is who you've always been, right? You know, you can identify, because I said to you earlier, you are an above average intelligent person. You're very, very smart. We all know that about you.
Thank you.
And when I think about meeting you in the very beginning, when I can remember us standing there in the hallway, what I didn't tell you is I just remember this big smile on your face. And not really a lot of words.
That's the one.
That's yeah. the one, yeah. And you just like that, kind of shaking your head, you know? And then so Dave just kind of just like zoom, going right in, and you were like, Yeah, you know, like that's how it looked from my perspective. Really funny. But I think that it's, so where'd you go to school, by the way?
I went to UCI.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Of course you did. So, you know, there's something to stereotyping. Nobody wants to admit it, but, you know, data is data. Yeah. It's just data, right?
Just data.
So, so you did well in school.
Yep.
Yeah. And so where were you born and raised?
Born and raised in Palos Verdes,
mm-hmm.
Just north of here, LA County.
Mm-hmm.
Came down to Orange County for school and then just kind of stuck around
mm-hmm.
down here.
Yeah. So, and would you agree, because this is my assessment of you and knowing you. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe we could kind of punch forward,
sure.
right? So then you said, oh, this is what I need to do. I like buy and hold rentals because you have a good job, right?
Yep.
And so you're like, I don't need to do these transactional type of deals. In other words, where you get in, get out, get paid and get, you know, kind of quickly.
Yep.
You didn't need to do it to put food on your table.
Right.
It was more like you said, okay, so for me, this is a long-term strategy. I'm in for the journey,
mm-hmm.
right? The marathon, not necessarily the sprint. Some of us need to sprint and then marathon. And you were like, I can marathon.
Yeah.
Right. It actually works well for me. And then you got the resources inside the club to make that happen. You put it into action and then chink, success.
Yep.
Right? Like, check that off the box. I am awesome.
Yep.
I'm sure you didn't say that, but you know.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, yeah. that's exactly what was happening. Of like, yeah, I've done it. Mm-hmm. I'm there. I'm doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So then what happened? Why did you decide to try something new in your business model?
Well, my business model shifted when I ran out of money to purchase buy and holds because I had kind of exhausted the capital I had available
mm-hmm.
To purchase the buy and hold. So I was like, huh, well, I guess I need to do some transaction real estate in order to buy more buy and holds,
mm-hmm.
which has always was my intention and mm-hmm. my business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, okay, I got to start doing this, you know, door knocking and, you know, lead generation for mm-hmm. trying to do a flip or wholesale or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing that and still had that anxiety of like door knocking and was trying really hard to avoid doing that as much as possible. And
can you give us an example of what that might look like?
Yeah, that's, you know, scheduling to go out door knocking with Steph and then, you know, just my brain just immediately starts coming up with excuses like, oh, well, I got this project I got to get done at work or,
mm-hmm.
oh, I've got to do this other thing. You know, sorry, you know, I won't be able to go out with you tonight to go door knocking.
Hi, this is Christian Rios. As many of you know, I have been a member of New Wealth Advisors Club for over 7 years and got started when I was 17 years old with absolutely no real estate experience. One of the biggest lessons I have learned from being in the industry is the need for authentic relationships. If you're looking for an actual team locally in Southern California with all the resources needed to close deals, register for one of our free workshops by visiting www.joinnwac.com. Thanks for listening to the Flippin' Off podcast.
And just kind of not scheduling it. Like, I definitely thought, okay, I should go out door knocking.
Mm-hmm.
I should be talking to people, helping homeowners. And yet there was that voice in the back of my head that was like, no, but you really don't want to do that. That's scary. You shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, oh, there's probably other ways I can try to do this uh-huh. other than door knocking.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where things started to go amiss.
Okay, that's great. Because here's the thing. So for those of you listening, you know, there's something to, you know, doing a podcast and we are, you know, sharing who the club is, who we are. And of course, you know, it's kind of like dating. You know, you go dating. If you go on a date, everybody sends their personal representative on the date. You know what I mean? Like that mask, the best version of you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is a risk that we run in doing in podcasting, you know, is that we put forth our personal representative, the best version of who we are. And I actually think that it's important for us to be really transparent and honest about we're not perfect. And I know that's a shocker, right? I mean, obviously it's not because nobody is perfect. But I think that it's important for us to talk through some of the pitfalls. And here's the thing with you, Eric. You are what you've experienced right now, what you're going to share right now, and just this whole conversation of I don't want to talk to people. And I know there is another way. There's got to be another way where I could get deals where I don't have to necessarily go in and jump in and talk to a homeowner who's in distress, right? Maybe there's a way for me to meet somebody who is, you know, I could get deals other ways. Like who the hell wants to, you know, it takes so much emotional energy and fuel to be able to talk to people and then what, convince them to sell you their house at a discount yeah. when their life sucks. Like, what about that is attractive for somebody like you? Nothing. So you having come, because you're above average intelligent, you want to come up with other ways to find leads. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So, and I feel like so many, this is not a unique story.
Right.
Is my point. So I really appreciate you being willing to share honestly where it is, and I want you to know that you're not alone.
Right. Yeah.
And you're probably serving a bunch of other people out there that don't even know you yet.
Yeah, that is absolutely my hope.
Good. Okay. So go ahead and talk about what you just, what did you come up with?
For a while I was just kind of calling Craigslist and doing a lot of the stuff that we do kind of at the RPP mm-hmm. homework. Wasn't really getting anywhere with that. And so eventually I kind of just, I can see in my head when during the RPP, where you put up on the slide, you know, deals to or things to avoid. And I can picture that slide right now in my head and just looking at that list and saying, you know, okay, avoid point houses. Okay, that makes sense. That should be simple enough to do. Avoid trying to get deals from wholesalers. Oh, okay. That seems like it should be simple enough to do. But when I was sitting at home and I was like, man, I'm just not seeing any progress. I'm not seeing any success. And instead of kind of leaning on people in the club and, you know, kind of talking it through with some people there, I was like, no, maybe I'll give it a shot. And so I had, you know, run into several wholesalers through mm-hmm. the Craigslist and all mm-hmm. that stuff. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, had called one and been like, hey, do you have anything available? And he said, oh, yeah, I've got this great deal. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So a buddy of mine who's a contractor, we're like, hey, how about the two of us, who's not in the club? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, hey, you know, maybe you can help me out with this. You know, he lives sort of near the area. And so we were like, okay, well, let's go check out the house. Let's just go see. So we did. And then my contractor friend was like, oh, yeah, this shouldn't be that bad. You know, we can do this. We can do that. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. I have the expertise of civil engineering. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, well, the backyard needs some grading work and, you know, some of that. And I'm like, oh, no problem. I can do those plans mm-hmm. because I've done grading plans for single family homes before.
Totally.
I was like, oh, well, with my expertise and your expertise, this seems like a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of did a little bit of market research. You know, we kind of went through the steps that that you had taught us. Mm-hmm. But because it was a wholesale origin, I was like, oh, but I can't really tell anybody in the club.
Oh.
And so I was like, because they're going to, you know, they're going to like think that I'm, you know, doing something wrong or that I'm not listening to them or.
That's exactly what would have happened.
Thanks, Frank. And so, well, that was the thought process in my head.
Okay.
Was like.
I really appreciate that.
Was, you know, oh, well, and Steph, bless her heart, the entire time, I wish I had listened to her. Honestly, there's regret there. Because she the entire time was telling me, hey, you should really run this by Tim. Hey, you should really run this by Melina. Hey, you should really run this by Oscar. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, babe, we've got this. I was coming from the standpoint of, well, I'd already seen success. mm-hmm. from the buy and hold stuff. I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. I've been to class a bunch of times. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I've got this.
Right.
Jason and I can do this together. It's going to be great. And coupled with the, like, oh, well, they're probably just going to think I'm doing something wrong because it was a wholesale and, like, ah, it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. So it was a point house, mm-hmm. and it was a wholesaler that mm-hmm. was selling it. And so Jason and I were like, okay, let's do this. So I put what money I had left into it. We got a couple of loans from some hard money lenders, and we're like, okay, we're really doing this. And so we started the process of, you know, demolition. There were some unpermitted additions that we knew about. And so we started getting through the rehab process. And I honestly, at the beginning, didn't think we were going to need grading permits because the amount of earthwork we were doing was so small. Mm-hmm. But we didn't check with the county ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so one of the neighbors, you know, we tried to be really nice to all the neighbors and, you know, only work for certain hours during the day. But inevitably, somebody nearby was not happy with what we were doing. And they called the county. And the county came by and they red tagged our property. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, you're doing all this work and stuff. You don't have any permits. So, you know, here's a red tag. Don't go back to it until you get permits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a red tag is the stop, do not pass, go directly to jail.
Yeah.
Do not basically. Collect $200.
Like a red card.
It's yep. like a yeah, red card. Yep.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah. Kicked out of the game.
Yep. Yep. And so at that point, we did go to the county and asked them, because we had to. And I asked them, okay, so what's the permit process? You know, what's it going to take? And they're like, oh, you got to do interior architectural plans and you got to do grading plans. I'm like, okay, no problem. How long do you think that process is going to take? Oh, it should be 2 to 3 months. And so we're like, ah, oh, dang, you know, 2 to 3 month delay. All right, fine, no problem. So we hire an architect, which of course is an additional cost we hadn't anticipated. And we start doing the grading plans, which I was going to do the grading plans myself. So there wasn't going to be an additional cost there, except that part of the requirements are surveying and soils reports. And so I had a buddy of mine who does soils work, and he's like, oh, yeah, I can do the soils report for you. I'll give you kind of a discount. We can probably do it for about $4,000. I was like, oh, okay. You know, $4,000 cost I wasn't expecting, but you know, all right. So then we start, you know, getting into the county process, and 7 months later, we still didn't have our permits. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we had gotten the hard money loan. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it, this whole time, we're spending, our holding costs are super high, mm-hmm. you know, almost $9,000 a month mm-hmm. that's just going out. And we're burning through whatever cash that we had. Mm-hmm. And so, but the entire time we're going through this, right up until we're like, pretty close to getting the permits, I was still thinking, oh, yeah, this will be fine. The market's fine.
Yeah, so I remember at one point I was thinking about this. I can remember this exact conversation. I remember where it was like a club meeting or something, and you and Steph walk in, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing a flip. And I looked at you, and I go, you're what? Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that. And I was like, what? You're doing a flip? And you're like, yeah, with, you know, this guy Jason. And I was like, And I think I said, well, who'd you talk to? Did you get eyes? Did you get another set of eyes? I think I probably just asked you straight up.
Yeah, and I probably looked away.
You did. You were like, it's fine. Like, and then I remember going, oh shit, he's already in it. So what does it matter? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but I did ask you, like, okay, so who did you run this by? Who did you, you know? Because that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I'm a big fan of. I get second and third sets of eyes on my deals. Mm-hmm. Right? It's something that we talk about all the time because nobody's perfect. We can all miss stuff. So I remember asking you, like, who did you? And you were like, and Stephanie was like, yeah, no, he didn't ask anybody. Like, kind of like real sweet, not mean, but just like, yeah, he didn't. And I was like, okay, well, all right, you're in. So where are you? And I remember you saying, well, we're kind of waiting on the county. And that was when you first told me about this deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then at what point did you decide, because I know you're going through and you're, you know, mm-hmm. so at what point did you, because you finally at some point asked for.
Yeah. So at some point kind of along the process of working with the county, we realized that we didn't have any money. Well, we realized that because of all the burning of the cash that, you know, all of the money that we had borrowed to do the renovations was now getting spent on holding costs. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point we realized, oh, wow, we've only got 4 more months of holding costs and no money to do the rehab. Mm-hmm. And so even if we get the permits, we don't have the money to do the rehab. And so at that point, that's like when I kind of came to that realization of like, oh, this is bad. Mm. And that's when I reached out, I think first to you, Melina, when I was, you know, after class or something, Steph was like, you have to ask for help.
Is that how she said it?
Yeah, absolutely. And she knew that that's what I needed because I haven't really been good about asking for help, mm-hmm. just personally. And so that was been a struggle for me was especially because most of the stuff that I've put my mind to has gone fairly well, mm-hmm. you know, school, engineering, you know, been pretty good at most of it and been fairly successful at pretty much what I set my mind to. And so the idea of asking for help was sort of to me admitting failure. And so the idea of asking for help was very difficult. And so, you know, when I asked you initially, Melina, for help. And you're like, we will absolutely help you. Definitely talk to Tim and Oscar, you know, and see kind of what your options are, see where you're at, get a picture, you know, get an overall view of what the picture looks like.
So interesting, because is that right about the time that we started mentorship?
That is just before we started mentorship, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was really, really close. And I remember saying, I think you came to me and you said, did you ask me about... about mentorship or...
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, don't worry, you're already on the list.
Exactly, because I was thinking in my mind, what I remember is you had repeated one of my classes, and I remember during class that you were asking very specific questions, and I knew then something was wrong, you know, and I knew that you were in this deal, and so I knew by the questions and I knew by your demeanor very much like it is right now that you weren't okay.
Yeah.
And so then I guess I was just kind of waiting. So at that point, I was like, he needs mentorship because I could tell, you know, that you were, you know, there's that saying, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. So I knew that you were starting to be ready. And I could see that there was a crack in the exterior of Eric, a little bit of a crack. And so for me, you know, as mentor, I go, oh, perfect opportunity to slide in. Yeah. Because when you have a hard shell, you know, I could crack at it all day long, but that's not really my job.
Right.
It's not my job. My job is to see an opening and to get in. So I think for me at that point, I was like, oh, he's ready. He's like, you know, he's ready. There's a little crack. And that sounds maybe a little harsh, like, hey, there's a crack in him. I can jump in. No, it's like there's a crack. So there's an opportunity for growth.
Yep.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was actually willing to listen.
Well, I know that. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, there's a crack in the exterior, which, you know, when we're all broken is when that's when all the growth gets to happen. You know, but when we're shelled up and we're doing great and everything is fine on the outside, there's not really a need maybe. And this is for, I believe, the truth for every single person in life, right? Is that the times when we talk about this all the time, the most growth comes when there is a little bit of brokenness. The more broken, the more growth. But of course, the more broken, the more freaking painful it is. So there's that weird thing of we don't want to be broken because it hurts. Yeah. So I invited you to come into mentorship. So you did. And then you finally, I said, reach out to Oscar and Tim. So then maybe Oscar or Tim, maybe you guys can give us a little bit from your perspective, what you saw when you walked in, whichever one of you, somebody jump in.
So I'll start. Spoke with Eric and he presented me with what was happening and specifically the situation of, hey, we're approaching permits being ready. But we're out of money. So, of course, you know, logical question. Well, how much do you think you're going to need? And I think at that time you were at about 80. You were needing $80,000 to $90,000 for what you believe was necessary to finish the project.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, before I can get any money to you, I need to look at the project. I need to walk it. I took Andrew with me. We went to go look at it, walk it, talk through it. and there was a lot of things that stood out to me, right? I think I called that out when we walked it. That just didn't quite make sense. There was some design stuff that didn't logically fit in. And then I asked him, "Well, what are you doing with this hill?" All right, and he goes, "Yeah, that hill." So I have this deck design that I'm putting out, right? And when he spoke about it, I was like, "Man, that's gonna be awesome because it's a glass railing and all this other stuff, right? But there's grading and all that." So he said, "I'm working on the grading. I get all those. I'm getting all that taken care of." So, all right, cool. So then the question comes again of, well, how much do you need to finish this? Then after we talked through all that, I believe it shifted to about 100 grand.
Yeah.
And then eventually we ended up at about 125 to 150 grand, mm-hmm. right, of need to actually complete it because there's still going to be some holding costs and other things going on. So my initial reaction was we might be able to do something, mm-hmm. but we need to understand comparables, right? We need to understand what the market has done because I knew there was a shift because we were already working on Skyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I already knew that there was a shift in the area. And Skyline and your property, they're 5 minutes apart.
Yeah.
If that, right? And that's with traffic, I think. So knowing that, I asked him for comps. So he did some more digging. And I think you realized at that point again, right? That, oh, there's a shift.
Yeah.
Right.
So is this the point when I almost feel like there needs to be a dun dun dun? You know?
I'll just share that when I looked at the paperwork, I was like, holy cow, he's screwed.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Like, as soon as I looked at it, my initial thought was, he is screwed, and we are going to have to get really, really creative to fix this or to try to fix it.
Yeah, so we talked through some scenarios mm-hmm. and possibilities, mm-hmm. but, I think, I mean, I can relate,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. I told them, like, look, there's life after this.
Right.
But you're getting
right. You're going to be okay, right? But you're getting hit right now, and you're going to get hit, and it's going to knock the sails, you know, the wind out of your sails. The world's going to feel like you're collapsing, and the whole thing is just going to come around you, and you're going to be in this crap storm, if you will, right? But it's okay because we can step in and help you through that and get through it. And then it was like, hey, Tim, dude, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to be able to salvage this. I don't see anybody really being able to or willing to step in and say, yeah, here's, you know, 150 grand to get this project done, just looking at the numbers,
mm.
right? So.
So, hate to do this, guys, but this has to end now. So, we're out of time, so we do need to end the podcast for right now. But you know what? I think we'll continue this conversation. So for the listeners, sorry.
Are we going to share numbers next time? Or?
That's probably a good idea. Huh, maybe we
you
will.
You want to share a number?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, so the numbers probably mean something, I'm guessing. So
yeah.
I guess for now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to have to end this lovely conversation. And we will finish the conversation and wrap it all up for the next time we're on the air. So for now, this is Melina Boswell with Team NWAC, and we are flipping the frick off later.
That's Hawaiian for bye.
I'm Melina Boswell, your host of the Flippin' Off podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we'd love for you to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and tell your friends all about us. You can find more episodes of the Flippin' Off podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you like to listen to awesome podcasts like this. If you like what you've heard, we'd really appreciate it if you'd follow us on Facebook and Instagram and tell us the stories that you'd like to hear. Tim Jackson is our senior producer. Luke Jackson is our editor. Brothers. Josh Maldine is our producer. Sound design by Frequency Factory. Our executive producer is Mind and Mill. This was all created by Dave Boswell for New Wealth Advisors Club.